Amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you all so much for joining us for this service. Those that are here in person and those that are joining us virtually online, thank you for joining us as we press into the Lord. I know that you all are being blessed by the fast. I know you are enjoying God's presence as we've been going through this Daniel fast. Is that right, or am I just assuming wrongly? I know you are being blessed. I know you and your families are being blessed. I know that. Amen. And the Lord is up to something. I love the song the praise team did this morning. Let's thank God for Deaconess Dubem and the praise team. God's up to something. Amen. And it's something good too.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It's something good. Something good is about to happen to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. This world, no matter what is going on in this world, no matter the turmoil, no matter the instabilities, look, you are God's covenant children.
Yes.
God's covenant of peace is your portion.
Amen.
Amen. You have a special place with God.
Yes.
There is no coincidence in your story.
No.
Hallelujah. No mistake. No mistake whatsoever. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. Do you have this confession? Somebody did this and I asked Pastor Tinu, she said she doesn't know who did. I'm sure we'll find out later, but God, guys, he's a human being. Human angel. But God bless you. They laminated this. I love this. I just love it. Laminated the confession. I love it. I mean, you can stick this somewhere in your home, on a mirror, in your bathroom, some on your refrigerator, in the kitchen. This is amazing. Hallelujah. I love it. So it's preserved. Preserved. Glory to God. I know we'll find out later, but whoever did this, God bless you. Somebody say, God bless you.
God bless you
for doing this. We didn't ask for it, but you did it. God bless you. The Lord will remember you. What you have not asked from the Lord, He will do for you this year. In the name of Jesus. We all have long lists, things that we are asking the Lord to do for us. But some things are not on your list, and the Lord will surprise you this year. And those things that are not on your list, God will bring them to pass supernaturally. And you will look at yourself and say, God, you did that too? I didn't ask for that. And God will say, yes, I remembered. I remember what you did for my people. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let's take our 2025 confessions and get into the Word of God today. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee. And I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet. With long life he satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. If you receive that, give the Lord a living shout of glory. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And please go ahead and be seated. Amen. I love everything about this confession, this prophetic theme that the Lord's given to us. This morning, my attention is called to that paragraph that starts with, I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. It says, there is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness. No weakness and no sickness. Can you do this with me? Let's read all of those first two lines together, everybody. Just let's read it slowly. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. You know, God will eradicate all dryness.
Amen.
Out of your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will eradicate all dryness out of your life. There is no dryness that is good. God never intended any kind of dryness for his people. I know there are seasons in the year. And I know sometimes there are seasons that are called dry seasons. That's just a part of the cycles of life. In the same way, there are times in life when things happen that are described as drought. There are some seasons in life that are described as seasons of famine. Sometimes the cycles of life bring times of plenty and sometimes times of insufficiency. I want you to know that was not the case in the Garden of Eden. There was no dryness in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, up until the time of the fall, never, ever, one time, experienced dryness. Not one time. And so, of course, after the fall, seasons of drought take hold from time to time. But God, even in seasons of drought, God wants to eradicate all dryness from your life. The world may be going through dryness. There can be a season of famine in the world. But God wants to insulate you.
Amen.
From every form of dryness.
Amen.
Dryness is not your portion.
Amen.
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 I think earlier during the offering, Pastor Tino was sharing something about You know. Sometimes there are storms. Some people are walking, huffing and puffing through the storm to get to the other side. Other people are just walking through it calmly. We saw the example of Jesus, actually, right? Jesus actually walked. It was the same storm. Everybody was walking through the same storm. But Jesus didn't experience storm. Jesus walked right through as though everything was calm. Because for him, it was calm. No matter what is coming on this earth, for you, it will be calm.
Amen.
No matter what is coming, no matter what is about to happen, for you, it will be all good.
Amen.
God will eradicate all dryness from your life.
Amen.
Spiritual dryness, emotional dryness, intellectual dryness, physical dryness, financial dryness. God will eradicate all dryness from your life in the name of Jesus. I really want us to go and read Leviticus chapter 26, and I want us to read from verse 3 to verse, I think it's verse 10 or verse 11 or verse 12. But, you know, they're just a couple of things kind of swirling around in my spirit, and I'm trying to follow the light of the Holy Spirit before I go to Leviticus 26, just to give you some foundation. I think it's in Psalm 34. Forgive me for not preparing it, because I didn't know I was going to read that. But I know somewhere in Psalm 34, it says that even in times of famine, it's either Psalm 34 or Psalm 37, one of them, I think it's Psalm 34. Even in times of famine, God will satisfy you. Is this Psalm 34? What verse is it? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. They shall not. Now, there's one in Psalm 34. I'm going to take you back and go and read that, because I saw that just now. They shall not. But that's not saying exactly the same thing, just something similar. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Actually, you know, let's read it from verse 18. We may back up all the way to Genesis 1. Let's read from verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright and their inheritance shall be forever. Verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied.
Amen.
I want you to hold on to that promise very strongly for yourself and your family. Hallelujah. Look at what it says. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. That means there will be some evil times. The world will not be insulated from the evil times that are coming. The world will not be protected from the days of famine that are ahead. But God is telling you, you, God's covenant children, wherever you are, today, God is telling you that in the days of famine, you will be satisfied.
Amen.
You will be satisfied. You will not know dryness. God will eradicate all dryness from your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I think that one I saw in Psalm 34, I just caught my eye just now. Look at it in Psalm 34. It says there, that's verse 10. That's verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You will not want for any good thing in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not sure if I'm in the right psalm where David said, I have been young and now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. Help me find that. I don't know if it's Psalm 34 or Psalm 37. It's somewhere. Hallelujah. It's Psalm 37. Let's go back there. Glory. It's Psalm 37. Let's read from verse 23. Let's read from verse 23 and let's go all the way down to verse 26. The steps of a good man. Oh, hallelujah. The steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord will uphold him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg for bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed forever. God will eradicate all dryness from your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We often preach a lot of very powerful messages about the way that Joseph interpreted the dream of Pharaoh in Genesis chapter 41. What we don't often do is actually read the dreams that were interpreted. Sometimes we feel like it's a waste of time. Let's just go, we like the power, the glory of the story. And that's good. The glory of the story is great. But sometimes we need to pay attention to the dream that was interpreted. God bless you. There is something about the dream that was interpreted. And you can, it's not my focus this morning, so you have another assignment. Sometime during the week, just read that. I loved it. There's something I wanted to just say to you. In verse 25 of Genesis 41, Joseph said to Pharaoh, he said, the two dreams that God showed you are one. That means the two dreams God showed you, they represent the same thing. This is the wisdom of God at work here in Joseph. He said the two dreams, you have to understand what this is huge. Pharaoh had a dream and he saw something. And all the magicians and all the people, all the wise men and women of his time could not interpret the dream. Nobody could interpret the dream. So finally, the butler remembered, when we were in prison, there was a young Hebrew man who interpreted our dream. And his interpretation came about exactly as God said, as he said. And Pharaoh said, go and bring him. And I love it. The Bible says they sent for Joseph hastily. And they went and brought him out of the dungeon. But even when they went and brought him out of the dungeon, the Bible says he quickly shaved. And he quickly changed his clothes. He groomed. And changed his appearance so he would look normal when he went to the palace of the Pharaoh. See, that man was preparing. He didn't know exactly what was ahead, but he was preparing himself. He prepared to the point that when they sent him a message in the dungeon that Pharaoh is looking for you, he said, excuse me, give me, I need 5 minutes. And he quickly went into his cell, went and shaved, changed his clothes. Why? Why? See, he did not want that king to think he is a crazy man. He wanted to look presentable. In fact, there's a verse of scripture that says he wanted to be present. You know, I think it's the Amplified. I think it's the Amplified. In verse 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. But Joseph first, somebody say first. He shaved himself. He changed his clothes.
Amen.
And he made himself presentable.
Amen.
He made himself presentable. Notice, he's loaded with wisdom. He's loaded with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He knows there's something right ahead. He doesn't know all the details. But one thing he knows, when I go to that king's palace, I will look presentable.
Amen.
So that as God begins to walk, if it ever crosses the mind of the king that he needs me to do something, he won't take a quick look at me and say, no, this one is too crazy. We can't use this one. Let's find somebody who is not. No. He, even in preparing for what God was about to do supernaturally, he shaved, changed his clothes, put on some cologne, and made himself look presentable. There are a lot of Christians who need to hear this message.
Amen.
Some Christians will say, well, no, it doesn't matter. My appearance doesn't matter. It does matter.
It does.
The way you appear, sometimes, your appearance sometimes either qualifies you or disqualifies you before the substance that you have is delivered.
It's true. Yes. Yes.
When you do interviews, when you are bidding for projects, when you are doing all these big things that are in line with the dreams that God has given you,
yes,
your preparation is a key part.
Yes.
Your preparation is a key part of your glorification.
Amen.
They are not separate. How you appear sometimes immediately sends a message about whether you qualify or whether you don't. The man quickly ran into his cell, shaved, changed his clothes. You know, because in the prison, they don't wear nice clothes. So maybe the only cloth he had left was the cloth he came with from Potiphar's house, which he had washed and kept in the corner. And the day the Pharaoh came, called for him, he put on his nice clothes, shaved, looked presentable, the Bible says.
Yes.
But I want you to see something that he said in verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, I love it, the two dreams that you saw are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. This is very important. This is very powerful. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Pharaoh was not a prophet, but Pharaoh was a conduit through which God wanted to release this instruction to the earth. And Joseph was going to play a key role in establishing God's counsel in this matter. He said, God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Then he repeated it a second time. In verse 28, he said, I'm reading from the Amplified, by the way. In verse 28, this is the message. Just as I have told Pharaoh, God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Then in verse 29, he said, take note. Take note. Take note. See, God is about to do this. But pay attention.
Pay attention. Yes.
Pay attention. Oh, thank God for Pharaoh.
Amen.
Thank God for Pharaoh. Amen. My beloved, my beloved brothers and sisters, there are some things that are bound to happen. Prayer will not stop them. Prayer will not stop them. There are some things on this earth prayer will not change. Prayer will not stop them. What God is going to do to insulate you and your family from those things that are going to happen, which prayer, notice, he didn't. Joseph didn't say, this is what we need to do. We need to pray. No. In fact, if you go further, this is what he says. He said in verse 29, take note, 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt are coming. Then there will come 7 years of hunger and famine. And there will be so much want that all the great abundance of the previous years will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. Watch this. And hunger, destitution, starvation will exhaust, consume, finish the land. Verse 31. And the plenty will become quite unknown in the land because of the following famine. For it will be very woefully severe. Notice, he didn't say to them, but we can change it if we pray. He didn't say that. He said, let's call for a time of 40 days of fasting. No. In this case, the time of fasting and prayer is not to prevent or to stop what is going to happen. The time of fasting and prayer is to prepare them. Is to prepare them so that God's covenant and God's promises can take hold in their own lives. When the world goes through turmoil, God's promises can take hold. My friends, the fasting of 2025 is not to stop what is coming. The fasting of 2025 is to prepare you. Amen. You and your family. Amen. So that you can be insulated. Amen. From what the world is going to go through. So you can be insulated. Let me declare that word over you again. God will eradicate all dryness. Amen. From your life. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Spiritual dryness, emotional dryness, intellectual dryness, physical dryness, financial dryness. God will eradicate all dryness from your life. You will never see dryness again in the name of the Lord Jesus. Yay. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You will not see it.
Amen.
You will not see it.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice here that what Joseph then did in verse 32, he says that the dream was sent twice to Pharaoh and in two forms indicates that this thing, which God will very soon bring to pass, is fully prepared and established by God. So then he said in verse 33, so now let Pharaoh seek out and provide a man discreet, understanding, proficient, and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt as governor. He didn't know he was talking about himself. he didn't know he was presenting himself to Pharaoh. Let Pharaoh look for this man. And Pharaoh was very smart. He looked around and said, ha, where are we going to find such a man? Then he turned himself to Joseph, who has shaved, who had changed his clothes, and who has spiritual, oh Lord, spiritual insight, the depth Oh, Lord, the depths. Oh, Lord, the depths. The knowledge of God that will break up the depths and bring riches. Bring riches. This man, this is God. See, what God wants to do in your life will be closely associated with the spirit of wisdom that you carry. The spirit of wisdom that you take on. See, Joseph didn't know, he just appeared. And the Pharaoh said, "Where are we going to find this man?" And he looked at him and said, "That's you. It's you." You see that in verse 37? He says, "And the plan seemed good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find this man's equal, a man in whom is the spirit of God?' And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'For as much as your God has shown you all this, there is nobody as intelligent and discreet and understanding and wise as you are. You, Joseph, shall have charge over my house, and all my people shall be governed according to your word with reverence, with submission, with obedience. Only in matters of the throne will I be greater than you are.'" See, Joseph was enjoying the blessing of the dew of heaven. Joseph was enjoying the blessing of the dew of heaven. When the dew of heaven is over your life, all dryness will be eradicated. Amen. There may be famine in the land, but you will never experience that famine. Amen. There may be dryness in the land, but you will never experience that dryness. Amen. You will go from one cycle of blessing to another cycle of blessing to another cycle of blessing. But you know how God is going to do it? He's going to do it by preparing you through his wisdom. Through his hidden wisdom. There is some hidden wisdom available to you to prepare you for the next 7 years of your life. To prepare you for the next 14 years of your life. If you hear it, if you can just hear it, there are some things God will show you. There are some things that will become clear that other people will not see. They will not see. They will not know it. And when you begin to take some steps, and when you begin to do some things, people wonder, why are you doing that? You see, what God said to Joseph was, first 7 years, there will be plenty. In those first 7 years of plenty, take 20%. It was specific instructions. It was wisdom from heaven. He said, 20% of all the abundance that you get, put it away.
Yes.
Put it away.
Come on now.
He said a fifth is 20%. And then he says, after the years of plenty, when the years of famine come, do you know the entire world experienced this famine, but everybody came to Egypt?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know this? Everybody came to Egypt. Why did everybody come to Egypt? Because Egypt was ready. They were prepared. The dew of heaven will prepare you for what is coming. There are things coming, but you will never experience it. You will never feel it. It will never touch you. Why? Because you are prepared. You are prepared. I don't know how many of you have read, you've had the opportunity, some of you go through those devotionals maybe later in the evening or sometime in the afternoon. But today's devotional talks about the strategy of God's wisdom. Yeah. I don't know if you've read it yet. But let me read some of the things that he says there. Let me just read some part. You can read all the scripture, powerful scriptures in there. God, well, first is 1 Corinthians 2:7. But actually, you've got to back up when you read that 1 Corinthians 2:7. That's the main the theme scripture there. As a focus, but when you read that First Corinthians 2:7, you need to back up just a little bit, just so you can get the fullness of what is in that scripture. So in 1 Corinthians 2, if you actually read from verse, let's read from verse 6. And then let's read from verse 6 and let's stop at verse 10 so you can get the full context of this thing. Listen to this. It says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the of the princes of this world that come to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared. Notice, the things that God has prepared. This is God's modus operandi. God will not change the events of the world. God will not change what's coming. What God will do, he will prepare his people. He will prepare his people. Notice, in every situation, God will prepare his people so that even when they walk through the storm, even when they walk through the turmoil, through the turbulence, they will walk calmly, as though that turbulence is not happening. God will prepare his people. When the days of dryness, I haven't looked at that clock, but it's almost 1 o'clock. Lord, thank you. We'll stop at 1 o'clock. That's it. But when the days of dryness come, and you are prepared, and you are clothed in the garment of God's wisdom, my friends, you are not going to be running up and down from pillar to post like the whole world. There will be no reason for you to do that. Everybody will be watching the same news. Everybody will be listening to the same news. And you'll just be walking calmly. Just calmly. You know why? Because you are prepared. You were prepared by the wisdom of God. There's the preparation God is giving you in this season. My friends, let's lay hold on it. Let's lay hold on it. God is trying to speak to you. God is trying to prepare you. My friends, just like Joseph said to Pharaoh, listen, he said to him, the abundance of these 7 years will not last. This is exactly what Joseph said to Pharaoh. This is the perfect interpretation of what Joseph said to Pharaoh. The abundance of these next 7 years will not last. Don't be deceived into thinking that what is today will always be. Joseph said to Pharaoh, let's prepare. Let's prepare. Because what we see today is going to change. Let's prepare. And when you are prepared, my friend, you are settled. You are settled. You are settled. Look at it. He said, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of God. There are some deep things. There are some deep things. God can prepare you. God can prepare you. It's not the wisdom of this world. It's hidden wisdom for future glory. Let me read some of this so I can close. I still want to read Leviticus 26, but I just read it without preaching from there. But I just read it so you can hear it. I just read it because that's really the one the Lord said for me to. I had to read that scripture today. I have to read that. God never does anything without first activating wisdom. Wisdom is comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. Wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. Wisdom is knowing the best means to the best ends. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And most importantly for today's devotion, wisdom is a strategy for winning in life. Many stories in the Old and New Testament of the Bible highlight the power of God's strategy for winning in life. From the accounts of Nehemiah, from the account of how Nehemiah strategically confounded Israel's adversaries, to how Joshua surmounted the walls of Jericho, to how David overcoming the Philistines and declaring God as the Lord of the breakthroughs, to the Lord Jesus helping Peter break out of a season of dryness. The Lord helped Peter break out of a season of dryness. It is clear that without a God-given strategy for confronting the many situations of life that we all encounter, victory may be a far-fetched pipe dream. God has a strategy for you to go up, get out, and find a way in. And that strategy is delivered on the platform of the wisdom of God. Wisdom is both an activity-based and a time-based strategy for finding the way forward and enjoying God's best in life. And as you walk with God's wisdom strategy in whatever situation you are dealing with, He will work supernaturally to divinely orchestrate situations in such a way that unfolding events in the natural eventually put you at the top and give you the upper hand in life. There is a way out. There is a way in. There is a way up. Receive God's wisdom strategy today. You are a winner. In Jesus' name. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I receive your wisdom strategy for my life, for my future, for my family today. The hidden wisdom which none of the princes of this world know, I receive today the wisdom that you have prepared to prepare us for what is coming. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to close out in, it's 1 o'clock. I want to close out in Isaiah 58. There's just one promise that I want you to read in verse 11. And so this is your promise today. I want you to take it. And then we're going to go and read Leviticus 26 and we'll be done today. Isaiah 58. This is your promise. This is your promise. I think it's verse 11 and 12. This is your promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is your promise. Isaiah 58 verses 11 and 12. This is your promise this morning, this year, as you go into the future. Amen. And the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Amen. So there will be drought, but in drought, your own soul will be satisfied. Amen. And he will make fat your bones. Amen. And you will be like a well-watered garden. Amen. And like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Your waters will not fail. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Your waters will not fail in the name of Jesus. Let's read this scripture together, everybody. And let's just stick with verse 11. You can read verse 12 later on. Thank you, Mariah. You're awesome. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, a well-watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. God will eradicate all dryness from your life. Let me leave you with an assignment as we read Leviticus 26. Do you know the first miracle that God did for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? Do you know the first miracle that they got? Once they crossed the Red Sea, after they left the Red Sea. Once they crossed over to the other side of the Red Sea. Do you know the very first miracle that the children of Israel needed? It's water. She got it. She got it. All right, okay. So you're very smart, Grace, right? Did you get it? Did you actually get it? Okay, you got it. Okay, good. The very first miracle that God gave the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt after crossing the Red Sea was to elevate them above the dryness that they encountered. Have you heard the word Elim? Do you know what that word means, Elim? They had come through a place of dryness. That dryness broke their bones. That dryness was so, it was such a huge trial. You think about it for a minute. You just came through the Red Sea. The Red Sea! There's so much water. And you prayed that you'll be able to get, you didn't even know it was possible, but God opened that Red Sea and you walked through on dry land. And suddenly you come out of that experience and you face dryness and thirst. It is, you, how do you explain that? You just came out of a place of so much water where you needed the water, you needed a path through that water. And then, as soon as you got far away from that experience, the first thing is we need water. It is water. You have so much water. And they didn't have water. And eventually they found some water somewhere, but the water was bitter. They couldn't drink it. And they named the place Mara. And they started complaining. He brought out all the nonsense, all the spirit of stupidity that they had inside them. He brought it out. You know, this is what the wisdom of God will do for you. The wisdom of God will deliver you from the spirit of stupid. Amen. It will help you eradicate. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all of us. Wisdom, the spirit of wisdom, will help you eradicate the spirit of stupid. Amen. Have you seen some people do some things and you look at them and you say, how can you be so stupid? How can you be so stupid? The wisdom of God will help you eradicate the spirit of stupid. Look at yourself and say, I'm delivered from the spirit of stupid. And God showed Moses a tree and said, throw that tree into that, and the bitter water became sweet. They drank. But after they left there, God then brought them to this place called Elim. A place, abundance of wells, abundance of palm trees, a place of refreshing, a place that was blessed with the dew of heaven. The Lord will bring you to Elim in the name of Jesus. You will not ever again deal with the pain of dryness in your life. Not spiritual dryness, not emotional dryness, not intellectual dryness, not physical dryness, not financial dryness. In the name of Jesus, you will be like a well-watered garden. In the name of Jesus, your waters will not fail, according to the word of God. Oh my goodness. We got to go home and close. Let's just quickly read. Let's rush through Leviticus 26. We just rush through it and go home. I'm not going to preach from there. I just want us to read it. Let's read it quickly, everybody. Leviticus 26. Let's read from verse 3 all the way down to, I think it's verse 12 or verse 13. I will not preach from there. I promise you. Leviticus 26. You know what Joseph said to Pharaoh? He said, God has shown you what he is about to do. Consider Leviticus 26. God is showing you what he's about to do in your life. Amen. Amen. Leviticus 26 from verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my command, let's read it together, everybody, and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you will lie down, and none will make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of your land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you will chase your enemies, and they will fall before you by the sword. And five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies will fall down before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, and you shall eat all store and bring forth the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul will not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you will be my people. In Jesus' name. Would you stand to your feet? Let's close. Father, we thank you for the dew of heaven. We thank you for your rain. We thank you, Father God, for eliminating all dryness from our future. Thank you for preparing us for the things that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Father God, for eliminating every form of dryness from our life. Drought, famine, lack, insufficiency, sorrow, failure, disappointment, hopelessness, fear, sickness, weakness, stress, anxiety. Thank you, Lord, for eliminating all forms of dryness out of our life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for giving us the upper hand. Thank you, Father God, for replenishing our lives with the dew of heaven. Thank you, Lord, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he dwells inside of us, and that spirit will give life to our mortal bodies and to our bones. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We bless your holy name. You alone deserve it. Receive it to yourself, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He deserves our glory today. We honor you, our God. We magnify you. We lift you up. We exalt you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.